The General Services Administration says it listened and heard the concerns over the way agencies currently buy what for the government is a big-ticket item, telecommunications services. So GSA's draft request for proposals for the next generation telecommunications contract is designed to simplify the process. It's called Enterprise Integration Solutions, or EIS. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins me now to discuss GSA's plans for the EIS procurement. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
So if my count is right, this would be the fifth generation. If you go back to the original FTS, Federal Telecommunications Service contract, I think with 1963, then we had FTS 2000, then FTS 2001, and now networks. And so this would be the fifth one, correct?
I think you're right. I didn't go back as far as 1963, but I'll just trust you on that one.
Well, the legend has it that the
Bob Woods was there.
Well, no, but Jack Brooks.
Jack Brooks
made the first call on the first FTS installed dial telephone.
Did he say Watson? Can you hear me?
Not quite, but you know that time, not every federal desk actually had a telephone.
Right.
I remember in the early mid 90s, the question was, would everyone need an email account? Well, there was a time when they wondered whether everyone would need a telephone. Hard to believe.
Well, when you talk to people who've been in the government for 30, 40, 50 years or more, they tell you, well, yeah, we had one phone and you had to get permission to use it. And long distance,
to call
long distance, that was a big deal.
All right. So let's start with the services GSA is asking for now in this new draft RFP. And are there any deadlines people need to be aware of?
Of course, there's plenty of deadlines, but let's talk about the EIS contract first. You know, this obviously comes under what the GSA is calling the Network Services 2020 umbrella program. So EIS is one contract of several that are coming, and it is the major follow-on to the networks. That's with an X contract. Now, EIS would be a 15-year contract worth with about a $50 billion ceiling. Now, it's not going to be worth $50 billion, but that's how much spending can come under it. Now, in the draft RFP, GSA detailed 4 mandatory services and 36 non-mandatory services. Fred Haynes is the program manager for Enterprise Infrastructure Solutions in GSA's Office of the Network Services Program. He says there's a good reason why there are only 4 mandatory under EIS.
Under the current buy in telecommunications market under networks for all of our agencies, 3 of those 4 services represents in excess of 65% of the current spend for fiscal year 14 total business volume that was done. So we have to protect, our agencies want us to protect their current infrastructure in place. 2 of those services, VPNS and managed network services, represent, you know, pushing close to 60%. We've also included regional telecommunications requirements into this contract as well. That's one of the other mandatory services, but within that there is an option of which one that they pick, whether it's IP services or whether it's traditional. It's one or the other, or they could do both. And Ethernet is the 4th one because it's significantly growing.
Now, Haynes says many of the 36 non-mandatory services really are aimed at the classic systems integrator community, and it's a way for GSA to actually get more competition. It's interesting, Tom, the networks contract had a ton of mandatory services, and that was the one concern that came out, was that limited the market. So GSA switched. They said, in fact, we're going to have fewer mandatory services. Haynes and other officials from GSA were on a press call yesterday talking about the new draft EIS RFP, but they wouldn't comment on how many awards they plan to make, but they just believe this approach does open it up to more bidders and therefore more competition and more eventually prime contractors. A couple dates just to keep in mind briefly. Comments on the draft RFP are due by March 31st. GSA plans to hold an industry day in the April-May timeframe, and then they plan to release the final RFP in July. Now, pushing that forward a little bit, the awards would come actually in the fall of 2016, so almost a year they'd look at it. And then they would begin the transition in early 2017 with a completion date of no later than May 2020. Now, currently, the current networks contract that all agencies really are under has also been extended for another 3 years through 2020.
All right. I hope they built in the year for the protest that will happen also.
I think they absolutely did. Yeah. In fact, that came up. Yeah.
All right. So this draft RFP, they must have been talking with industry for some time to get up to this point where they could write the RFP.
Absolutely. And I think that was one of the biggest changes in the way they developed EIS compared to what they did with networks and maybe some others like FTS 2001. Fred Haynes again says the goals of the draft RFP is to get vendors to comment on the mandatory, non-mandatory services, but also it's a signal that, that they're trying to make EIS more agile, more flexible, and really reduce the complexity to buying telecom services for agencies. Mary Davey is the Assistant Commissioner of GSA's Integrated Technology Services in the Office of Federal Acquisition Service. She says the draft RFP is a culmination of a lot of work with agencies and industry to ensure their needs are met.
We've had a very engaged, what we've called the NS 2020 working group that has helped us, and that's, I think, what, 24 agencies that have been represented and working with us on looking at the requirements for this program. What their needs are across, you know, the country and across the world, what they need in terms of assistance from GSA. And so the agencies have been heavily involved in helping us develop this program, and we've done extensive industry engagement as well. Lots of conversations with industry, both in big forums, in one-on-one forums, learning about, you know, how they're providing technology today, both to government and to their commercial customers, where they see things going. So we've worked really hard to make sure that this contract and this solicitation will reflect all of that.
Now, GSA, I think, had to go out and really talk to industry, really had to talk to agencies for two main reasons. Number one, Tom, we know that the telecommunications industry has changed so much over the last 4, 5, 6 years, the web, the as-a-service, the voice over IP. But the second reason is the networks contract was not well-received. It took probably 3, 4 years longer to transition to networks than the FTS 2001 contract. GSA also extended its deal several times to pay for transition costs for the agencies because the complexity of the ordering, the billing, the inventorying, the statement of work processes were all much bigger than they thought it would be. Now, Davey adds GSA also reduced the number of customer line item numbers, or CLINs, and this is an important part because basically it's going to make it easier for agency customers to pick the CLINs they want to take most advantage of it and put it in their contracts because that's what makes most sense for them.
We're also changing the way that agencies can place orders and GSA's role in that. So when we give delegations of procurement authority, agencies will be able to structure their own task orders, place an order, and GSA doesn't get in the middle of that to negotiate and then add specific CLINs to our contract each time. Agencies will just be able to do that with GSA providing similar scope reviews and making sure that what they're doing fits within that contract, but gives them more flexibility.
Now, Haynes says as telecommunications has gotten more complex and more integrated with IT more generally, what GSA is trying to do is make EIS flexible enough to let agencies customize their telecommunication solutions within the parameters of the contract's terms and conditions. So kind of a best of both worlds. Davey adds the fact that the agencies went through the statement of work process and the more complex transition last time from FTS 2001 to networks. This should make this transition from networks to EIS much easier because they've already done it, and a lot of the harder things are at least in place, such as a network inventory. They don't have to start from scratch. Davey says the change to EIS also is attracting the attention of the Defense Department and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. Now, DOD traditionally has done their own thing when it comes to telecom, but the Defense Information Systems Agency, which usually runs most of DOD telecom, is actually moving some requirements under existing contracts to networks and plans to seriously consider the EIS contract once it's in place. Meanwhile, the ODNI is also suggesting that some intel agencies, such as the National Reconnaissance Office, take a serious look at EIS for, you know, very specific and certain needs, obviously in the unclassified world. But the fact is that GSA feels very good that they're starting to pull in some of that new DOD and intel community business.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. So any industry reaction so far to the draft RFP? You've got a story also today at federalnewsradio.com about Acquisition 360, in which industry and government can kind of comment on the acquisition process. So, that's the second question, but is there any reaction so far?
Well, the reaction has been, I think, minimal so far because I think vendors are still digging into the draft RFP. I mean, just the statement of work itself is 270 pages, and then there's all the other sections that are hundreds of other pages as well. But I did get some initial reaction from several vendors over the last few days, and there are some emerging concerns. I think one big concern that I'm hearing from many different vendors is the way GSA is developing EIS in a way that will allow more competition. currently, you know, there's five networks contract holders. Is the way EIS being developed only really going to allow those five to continue to be the prime contractors? And those five include, you know, CenturyLink, Sprint, AT&T, Level 3, and of course Verizon. Davey and Haynes say they want as many bidders as possible because that's the competition will drive down prices and ensure the government gets better value, something we've heard time and again over the last, you know, 40 years. But Davey says GSA hears that same concern too, but she says, listen, the need for this contract is clear to GSA and to the agencies.
Well, one of the things that we've heard from the agencies on specifically these kinds of services is they are so complex. And, you know, it takes a lot of work to define the requirement, to negotiate with the providers. And because we're able to aggregate so many agencies using this contract, we get huge price discounts, number one, they know. They also know that we have relationships with these companies and can support the agencies better than a lot of times them going off on their own for some of these large, complex, you know, data networks and things like that. So very much to agencies' advantage, especially after they've spent the time they have working with us to put this together. And then GSA takes on that management and administration of the contract and provides that extra support to agencies in this all through the buying process, as well as, you know, once they start their transition and into operations.
Now, Haynes says that despite those concerns of industry, GSA is looking and expecting, obviously, for more competition at both the prime and the subcontract levels, and because of those changes that we've been talking about in the draft EIS. There's also some concern in industry that EIS is trying to maybe do too much, because it includes more than just telecommunications, but it includes things such as cloud. And as telecommunications morphs into stuff like voice over IP or other, what we'll call as-a-service technologies, that is saying, well, do we really need a EIS, another telecom-only contract? Couldn't it be done under something like Alliant? And Haynes says the changing nature of telecommunications and technologies more broadly is part of the reason why GSA wants really a new model for EIS that includes more than just a tech refresh clause.
This has on-ramp capabilities, first for large GSA telecom contracts. We haven't done that in the past. So 3, 5, 7 years from now, somebody who didn't bid it originally, didn't give us a proposal this summer, or later down the road, due to changes in their business, due to acquisition, mergers, whatever, they want to be able to get into the contract. There are provisions within EIS to on-ramp new vendors into the contract as well.
Now, Haynes says the reason why GSA is going through this draft RFP process, having an industry day, is really to hear from the vendors and other experts. He realizes that while EIS, they did a lot of upfront work, it's by far not perfect, and it will change between now and July. So I think that's the goal here, is to continue to improve it, continue to make it better. And I have to say, you know, I think GSA is on a very solid track. I think no vendor has said, you know, oh my goodness, what are they doing? It's a lot of, you know, kind of nooks and crannies as they get into it. Okay, what can be tweaked? What can be improved?
All right. Well, it's definitely not your grandfather's federal telephone service.
No PBX here, right?
No. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Appreciate that report.
Thank you, Tom.